All of you, and I have to admit, I'm amazed at how many of you were here on a Saturday morning, even with how foggy it's been. So thankfully, it's not foggy here. We had fog like all the way up here on our drive, and I'm sure many of you did too. Today, we're going to be talking about growing in God's Word. I'm pretty sure the ladies here picked such a broad topic so they would make sure that Jeanette and I did not overlap. I don't think they want to listen to the same lesson twice, and they certainly assured that. When we think about growing in God's Word, the most simplest way, of course, is to grow in our knowledge, right? To spend our time reading our Bible, getting familiar with what it says. But God never asked us to just spend time reading our Bible and only know what it says. As Christians, we're asked not only to know what the Bible says, but then to get understanding. I know they sound like they're kind of the same thing, but there is a difference. How many of you here have read the book of Revelation? Okay, so you know what it says, right? So that means you understand it all, right? You can come up here and present to us and explain what all the symbols mean, right? Just because we know something doesn't mean we fully understand it. In order to understand something, we have to take the time to think about it, maybe read other passages to get more light on it. It's not just a simple matter of reading it. Like Einstein's equation, E equals mc squared. We can all know it. We all say it. Does anybody understand what that really means? I mean, like how it works, where in the world that formula would ever be applied. And then as Christians also, once we get the understanding, we're asked to grow in wisdom. This is when we're able to take our understanding and see how this actually applies to real life situation. God told us through Paul that we are to speak only what's good to edify. So we're like, okay, that means we're supposed to only say things that help other people to be better, to build them up, maybe help them out of something. But what would that mean in a situation? When somebody's struggling through a hard time, what do you say to them? Wisdom is when we can take our understanding and actually apply it to our lives. So once this is all in our minds, it then needs to come to our hearts and then out in our actions. Because our end, our goal in life is to glorify God by what we do and say. And this is driven by what we think and what we feel. And the only place to find the plan for how to glorify God is in His Word. And this isn't always natural for us. We tend to think we know better, but we need to remember our purpose in life. So in order to grow in God's Word, we first must take the time to get familiar with it and take the time to understand it. We're all sitting here right now going, yep, I know. I know I should read my Bible more. I know we should do it. But you know what? It can be hard. Or you get to some people, you know, Bible study is boring. Have you read some of those passages in Leviticus? I mean, seriously. When we're starting our Bible study, I think we need to be honest about something. There are some things we want to know. There are some things we honestly don't want to know. And there are some things that we really don't care one way or another if we ever know. So when starting your Bible study, pick something you actually want to know about, something you have a question about. Maybe, even if it's a controversial topic, pick maybe, what does the Bible say on divorce? Homosexuality? Is it okay to tell a lie if you have a good motive? Pick something you're actually curious about. And then take advantage of other people's understanding. In the book of Acts, we see the Ethiopian eunuch reading a passage he didn't understand. He wasn't just left alone staring at that passage. He got another person to come help him understand it. We are part of a huge body of people, and this body of Christians has been around for thousands of years. Between the lot of us, we have a huge amount of understanding. Take advantage of it. We have wonderful websites that are available even for free, like Christian Courier, Apologetics Press, Bible Hub. Look at their understanding and take advantage of it. And take the time when reading to read the verses and see how they got to their understanding. Because then when you go to your Bible study, it can help you, when you maybe have a question and can't find an article right there, to know how to tackle it so you can see how to get this understanding. Once this is in our mind, though, once we've taken the time to start trying to understand it, and we need to let it affect our thoughts. And this doesn't automatically happen. I've read portions of the Quran. It hasn't changed how I think about God. I've read some of the writings of Confucius. It hasn't changed how I view morality. Reading the Bible doesn't automatically mean it's going to change how we think. It needs to change our all-the-time thinking. And this doesn't just mean taking out the bad. I mean, we all know the bad things that aren't supposed to be there, right? And we say, okay, I'll just stop thinking about this bad thing. The human mind isn't a vacuum. We are going to think about something. That's why my personal favorite verse on how, as a Christian, we're supposed to retrain our minds is Philippians 4:8. It's such a small verse, but it has so much good information here. So let's all go ahead and turn there. This is how our minds are supposed to be thinking all the time. All right. All right, so it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So now we know what this verse says. Let's try maybe and see if we can get some more understanding of it. First off, we need to think about things that are true. I don't think this one can be emphasized too much. Our minds need to be handling the truth of a situation, what is really going on. We need to be honest and be able to see clearly, first off, who we are. Amen. It's so easy, psychologists often say, the easiest form of deception is self-deception. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't like seeing ourselves honestly. Maybe we do something too much and we'll justify, you know, I don't really have a problem with this. I could stop at any time. I'm a pretty good person. Or, you know, that really, what I did there, it wasn't that bad. Or then we have the people on the other extreme who get depressed. I'm no good. I'm no good at this. I'm no good at that. We need to be able to have an honest view of ourselves if we're ever to be the tool God needs us to be. Also, we need to be honest about our situation in life. We can't pretend that everything's fine in our lives. If really something needs fixing, and when we're honest about that, that's the only way we can fix it. We're never, as Christians, asked to be ostriches. We don't stick our head in the sand. We need to be honest about our situation. We also need to be honest about the people around us. Are they a good influence on you? You sit there and think, you know, they're not really that bad of an influence on me. Okay, sure, when I'm around them, I think about this. Sure, I'll use those words more if I tend to be around them. Are we really being honest about the effect they have on us? We need to be honest about other people and what situation they are in too. Where are they going eternally? We can only help other people if we're honest about ourselves and honest about them. And also, we need to keep the truth of God's word in our minds. This is what's directing our mental paths. So we need to be honest about God's word and honest about what it says. Which is not always comfortable, because sometimes that means I have to change, or sometimes that means, you know, maybe I might have to talk to that person because according to God's word, they shouldn't really be doing that, and that's not really very comfortable to do. But truth, thinking about what is true, I don't think it can be overemphasized. If we spend time in truth, it allows people to trust us. I once knew a young lady, and I don't think what is true, and I'm sure you all know people like this, was ever a filter in her mind. She would say whatever came to her mind that would make her seem more popular, get her more attention, or whatever. I remember one time we were driving around doing some shopping, and she was sipping happily on one of those huge sodas from a fast food place joint or gas station or something. Anyway, sipping happily on her soda, and she said, yeah, I love my soda. I drink it like these 5 times a day. Okay, about 5 or 10 minutes later in the conversation, she tells me, yeah, I don't really like soda. In fact, I rarely ever drink it. My mind was at this point going, Okay, do you think I have the greatest amount of trust for this young lady? When she tells me something, do you think I automatically believe it? Or do you think maybe I take it with a pound of salt or see if someone else can say it or give me some more information about this? People can't trust us if we aren't honest about ourselves and others. If we're honest, it will allow us to have an openness of relationships. As people, we're meant to be social people. Some of us are, you know, more social than others, but as humans, we all want at least a couple people we have good relationships with. And the only way to get this is through honesty that allows this openness of relationships. Also, taking the time to keep our minds on what is true allows us to keep on the path of speaking what is good to edify and not to gossip. The next thing Paul asks us to keep our minds on is on things that are honorable or worthy of respect. We need to have our thoughts a little above all the vulgarity in this world, which means editing our input a little bit. Okay. How many people here watch TV, movies, or anything like that, right? All of us, right? Okay. Apart from the plot, have you ever taken the time to actually look at what they're saying? Or a lot of our books that are very popular. What are they about? Sometimes maybe it takes, you know, maybe setting, it's a very popular series, you know, so you want to read it because all your friends are reading it. Maybe it takes setting it down because it doesn't matter. I mean, honestly, in another month, the next series will be popular. So it doesn't matter if you skip that particular series. Or maybe getting a different TV show or getting something like TV Guardian or Clearplay, one of those filters for it. Because if we just keep putting the vulgarity in, our minds will think about it. Input will cause thoughts. I think a good test of this is, what is your sense of humor? Have you ever heard someone walk up to you and say, okay, this joke, yeah, it's not that good, but you know what, it's funny. And you know, just because they say automatically it's funny, it automatically excuses the fact that it's vulgarity. I've had so many people say that to me. Yeah, I know this joke isn't really the cleanest, but it's funny, so therefore it is now okay to say. You know, I think a good test of where our level, whether we're thinking of things that are honorable or worthy of respect, or whether we've gotten too caught up in the vulgarity, gutter humor around us, is by looking at our sense of humor, because so much of what we consider humor in our society is rather down gutter level or at the expense of somebody else. So again, we don't just cut out what's wrong, we replace it with something. Maybe we pick a book that will inspire us to do something better. It doesn't have to be religious. We can read books just for the fun of them, but pick a book that will actually maybe challenge you mentally. A book that has characters in it that will inspire you. Characters in it that accomplish something that is worthy of your respect. Try getting input that actually helps you becoming a better person, not that you have to sit there and fight it. Okay, I watched that, my mind now has to skip that part. Don't do that to yourself. Try watching something that'll actually help you, not something that you're constantly having to fight mentally. Next, we're supposed to think about what is just. So, like God, we're supposed to be no respecter of persons. We're supposed to have no prejudice. Okay, it is okay to like some people better than others. Naturally, we like some people better. If we look at Jesus, he had the three apostles who he was close with, and we have John, who's described as the apostle that Jesus loved. Commendatively, probably we would say close to like a best friend type of idea. It's okay to like some people, have more natural time spending some people than others. But this doesn't mean that we want the best for some people more than the best for others. This doesn't mean we love some people more than we love others. This doesn't mean that we'll help this person out of this situation, but that person, you know, they smell kind of weird. Or I really, really don't like how shrill their voice is. Okay, people are worth the same regardless of how they smell, how they dress, how they act, what their sexual orientation is, whether or not they've bathed in the last 10 months. You know the people who just have that body odor, you're like, I need personal space. Okay, they're worth the same amount as the person who has great personal hygiene. And there are some times where you just have those little quirks and you just... But no, everybody's worth the same. And we need to love everyone the same. We need to want the best for everybody. God loves everyone equally, and we should be willing to help everyone also. That also means, though, on the other side, we can't just, skip helping. We also have to, when we like people and they're doing something wrong, sometimes we tend not to want to tell them, right? We don't want to hurt their feelings. We like them. No. We're going to help them regardless of whether or not we like them or not. We're going to help them out of those situations, both people. We're going to help those we don't like on the good. And we're going to tell the people we like, you really should stop this. In love, yes, we're going to do it in love. But all people need help. And we're going to be willing on both sides to help them. Next, our thoughts, we're supposed to think about what is pure or holy. So not muddied, nothing dirty in it. Whenever I hear that word, my mind automatically goes to the passage in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, to the pure, all things are pure. Sometimes I think how we view other people's motivations tells more about us than them. We need to be willing as humans to give the benefit of the doubt to people. None of us are perfect. We know that. So we need to look at the people in the best possible light. If we tend, again, we are thinking in the truth. If you know for sure they did it for this reason, don't say, oh, I'm just going to give them the benefit of... No, we are operating on truth, right? But we know that we've had those moments when we've fallen flat on our faces. We know we've said something once in a while that we really, really didn't intend to come out that way. We didn't really know it would hurt their feelings. We've all had those moments. And so being that we know that, give people the benefit of the doubt. Say, maybe they didn't really mean it that way. Just give people the benefit of the doubt. It'll help you feel better about people. It'll keep you way less stressed. And it will just make you an easy person to be around also. But just remember, to the pure, all things are pure. When we look at things, we see the best in them. We see what good is there. And then that also allows us to help inspire and pull that best out of people also, if that's what we're seeing in them. Next, we're to think about what is agreeable or lovely. This word literally means to be friendly to. Christians are supposed to be agreeable people. God told us through Paul that we're supposed to be, as much as we can, at peace with all people. Again, this doesn't mean we're sacrificing truth. We all know those people who are sitting there in the conversation and they want so much for everyone to be friends and peace that they sacrifice the truth. Okay, that's not us, right? We are to try to keep peace in a situation as much as possible. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, but this is never at the expense of truth. But as much as we can, we're supposed to be agreeable people. Let's be honest. Who are you more willing to spend time around? The people who are generally pleasant, upbeat people, or the people who are always, right? We like people who are upbeat, and that comes from our minds. If we're always thinking negative thoughts, if we're always kind of depressed, if we're always kind of grumpy, people can tell. If we think pleasant thoughts, if we're trying to be friendly towards people, people are going to be attracted to us because whether or not we're friendly people in our minds does come out in our actions. That's one that has a really direct connect. Some things you can really hide in your mind very well, but whether or not you're really feeling grumpy or whether or not you tend to be a pleasant upbeat, that one really people can see very easily. And as Christians, we're to be lights. And people only see lights when they see happy faces. Yeah, maybe it's not always a smile because they're having to tell you did something wrong, but it's still an agreeable personality. Next, we're to think about things that are admirable, which means we don't dwell on all that is wrong in the world. We look up at something worthy of admiration. Okay. We all know people who spend the entire day watching the news. What does the news play up? All that is wrong in the world, right? Okay. There are exceptions to every rule, but as a whole, what are the people like who spend all day watching the news? They are depressed. They are constantly complaining. And sometimes they're so overwhelmed they just kind of give up, right? They're like, oh, everything's wrong in the world. There's just nothing I can do. If we spend all of our time thinking about all that is wrong in the world, it's going to drag us down. We need to spend some time thinking about things that inspire us to be better. And again, it doesn't just have to be religious. It is great to do that. Spend time thinking about people like Paul and our Lord, people who overcame difficulties. But it doesn't have to only be that. You can look at somebody even in your local hometown who's trying to help, maybe with this group of homeless people. Just spend time thinking. Allow your mind to think on things that inspire you to be better. Because if we spend time looking at things that inspire us, we tend to be more upbeat. We tend to think we can accomplish more. It helps us be better if we're dwelling on what is better. Next, we think about if there is any virtue or goodness in this. These are thoughts like better. I can grow to a higher level. The next one is if there's any excellence in this thing. When we think of a thought, we need to think, is there anything in it that gets me to be better? I think that's really what Paul is saying through all of these, is that what we're thinking about, how our minds are working, should not be things that are dragging us down. These are thoughts that need to inspire us to be better. Because if we're inspired, we will do better. But you know what? How do you do with that Monday morning? Or Thursday afternoon after a really long, stressful day and you're stuck in commuting? Or how do you do when somebody's lost their temper and is yelling at you? Or when you see all these nice stuff you want and you start getting caught up in your own mind? We all fall short in our minds, right? We know that. And thankfully, God didn't ask us to have perfect minds. But what do we do when our minds are this way? I think our most valuable one we have as a Christian is we have prayer. We can talk to God who created everything, and yet he loves each one of us, listens to each one of us, and will help each one of us. And we also get the thing when we pray of it's off of us and we get to put it onto God, and so that weight is off of us. I don't think we can overestimate the value of prayer. Talk to God. He loves you. He wants the best for you. Next, go do something physical. Okay, like it or not, while we're on this earth, our minds are tied to our physical bodies. So if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling down, my favorite is I go for walks. Maybe you go for a jog. But it doesn't have to be something like that. You could go maybe make something for somebody. Because then you're not only doing something physical, you also get the added advantage of getting to do something nice for other people. And we all know we do feel better when we do something for other people. It doesn't, but go do something physical. It takes you out of the situation. It distracts you. Doing something physical also releases a lot of hormones, helps you relax physically. So like it or not, we need to be honest that we're tied to this physical body. Go do something with it. It'll help our minds calm down. Also, talk about it. God did not leave us alone in this world. He left us with a group of Christians who love us. And you know what? We're all humans. Chances are, if you're talking about it to somebody, there are only a certain number of things that people can struggle with. Yeah, the particulars may change. Yeah, the degree may change. But there are only a certain number of things that people can actually struggle with. Okay? I'm unhappy. I'm angry. There are only a certain number of things that people struggle with. Okay? So chances are, if you go talk to somebody about these thoughts or feelings you're having, they've gone through it too. I would recommend picking someone a bit older because the person who's a little past the situation or further along in it tends to have a better eye of how this should work than someone who's right smack in the middle of it. Right? We always say hindsight is 20/20. So I would encourage, but if you don't have one, that's fine. But because even the person in it with you can help encourage you. But talk about it with somebody. You know, everybody sees things in slightly different ways. Maybe they'll give you ideas you didn't have. And also you have advantage of someone who can check on you, right? God didn't leave us alone. Don't do it all by yourself. You don't have to. You don't have to confide in every single sister in Christ. But maybe, like, just pick one. Or it doesn't even have to be a sister. You can maybe a preacher or one of your elders. There is somebody you can talk to, and they want you to help. They want to help you also. We all know that. It's just not really comfortable, right? Which is why I say only pick like one or two people, because I'm totally not the type who could like talk about my problems to everyone. I have my one or two. Everyone needs at least one or two people they can ask for help. All right? So once we have our thoughts, they need to actually then get connected to our determination, our will, our intents, our feelings, heart, however you want to word that particular thing. How many of you know a nurse or doctor who smoke? Okay, they know they should not be doing it. They've seen the thing. They think about it because they see it all the time. They still smoke. Why? Because it hasn't gotten into their hearts. They haven't determined. They don't want to quit. Humans only do things we want to do. Okay, yes, sometimes they're threatening us, but that's because we want to do that more than we want the punishment. We only do things we want to do. So our thoughts do no good unless we tie them to our emotions. We tie them to our determination. Because thoughts have no value if they don't accomplish something. So when our thoughts are good, when there is a decision, we need to become accustomed to our good thoughts automatically translating it into intents. We can't just be couch potato thinkers. I mean, how many of us have thought, you know, someone should really tell that person about the gospel? Or, you know, that person could really use help with that. Or, you know, these are these chores at the church building that need to be done. And the list goes on and on. We always have all these nice thoughts. I'm like, that should get done. And it never comes out in our actions. Why? Because we don't actually want to do them. It may be we're too lazy to do them. It may be we don't have enough time because we haven't taken the time to organize and prioritize our life. It may be that we're scared. But there's some reason we just don't want to do them because we only do what we want to do. So we need to examine if we're having a lot of these winklings, maybe what our problem is. Are we scared of what other people might think of us? Are we really just not wanting to do it because we're kind of lazy? I mean, we all have those moments, right? We've had a long day and we just want to sit on the couch and do absolutely nothing. And then somebody calls and you're like, do you really want to talk to this person? We've all had those type of moments where our laziness is kind of outweighing our love. And that's really what it is. It's our selfishness of, I want to be here. Love would pick up the phone and talk to that person. We've all had those moments. And really that's what it comes down to, is when we have this disconnect between our minds and our hearts, we need to focus on love. We need to focus on, okay, I need to want the best for these other people. Because we really have no problem when it's ourselves. It's a selfish desire. I want that cup of coffee. Okay. It's really most of our good thoughts that don't come out is when it's things for other people, right? It's usually when we have the issue. So we need to spend more time thinking about our love for other people and wanting the best for them. Okay, so now that we actually want to do something, we're going to go do something. So I was thinking about a lot of ways to divide our actions up into a couple categories. And I came up with this one. Actions that their end is for myself, and actions that the end is for others. Okay. So I started with actions for self. So let's start with how I dress or look. Okay. We all see this, right? We know as Christians, this is skin. Our clothes should not show too much of it. Our clothes should not be as tight of it. And our clothes should not draw too much attention to it. Right? We all know this, right? Okay. Why do we do this? Oh, wait, it's for other people, right? It's so that we help other people's minds stay clean. It's so we help look respectable so we can help other people by drawing them to Christ. How we dress isn't really an action exclusively for us, is it? It has a huge end for other people. Okay, someone wasn't really an action for myself. Okay, how we eat and how we take care of our bodies, right? Okay, we all know our body, it was given to us by God. We need to be good stewards of it. Take care of it, okay? Why are we asked to take good care of it? Why are we asked? So we can go do good works, right? When I started this division, I started thinking how few actions actually have their end in us. And I started thinking, and to be honest with you, I couldn't think of a good action that the end was totally for us. And this makes perfect sense, really, when you think about it, because as Christians, our focus, our end, our goal, remember, is to glorify God. And one of our other main missions is to help other people. We're to help them primarily spiritually, right? Spiritual is our focus. We're to help them emotionally, financially if we can, physically. Our focus is God and then other people. So it makes sense that our actions we're asked to do as Christians, the end is not for us. We take care of ourselves, yes, but why? So that we can serve other people. We dress nicely, we take good care of ourselves. Why? So we present well to other people. All of our actions really have an end with other people. Nothing should just stop with ourselves. So then we get to our actions for others, which actually turned out to be the only real category of things that God actually wanted us to do. Okay, we all have those moments where we get caught up in selfishness, but these are the things we're, you know, actually supposed to be focusing on. So actions are actually for others, and they need to actually be for others, which means our thoughts shouldn't be focused on ourselves either. Right, we all know those people who they'll do something so nice for you, and you know the only reason they're doing it is so that you'll give them some attention, right? We all know those people. Okay, our actions that are for others are actually for others, and the praise that comes back isn't supposed to stop with us either. That praise is supposed to go to God. So actually, our actions, the end is not supposed to be for us, and the praise that's going back isn't supposed to be for us. There is no focus on us. Ready for 5 seconds of honesty? We don't always do this, right? But we all don't always do this, right? So we're fine. Right? Because God never asked us to be perfect. And so we just take a deep breath and we go, ha, I'm a pretty good person. God doesn't ask me to be perfect, so I'm good. Why should I bother fixing it? It's hard to fix it and get any better than where we are, so why should I? I'm a pretty good person. I help people most of the time. I keep coming to Sundays. I'm just a pretty good person, so I'm just kind of hanging out where I am, because any growth further than this is going to be hard. Okay? Why should I fix it? First off, God will forgive us of anything we do wrong, but His requirement for it is that we are trying to get better, right? That's right. We don't have to be perfect, but we do have to be trying to get better. We can't just let ourselves go with the, I'm a pretty good person. You know, I don't kill people. You know, I don't cuss people out. I don't slap them. I don't steal their money. I'm a pretty good person. Okay, sure, I lie a little bit here and there when it's like that, or I'll get a little caught up to myself and not think about them. Okay, God will forgive us of anything, but we need, in order to get God's forgiveness, to at least be trying to do better. We have to try.
That's right.
God understands that growth is a slow process, but we need to be growing.
Yes.
Also, if we work on trying to fix it, we'll learn how not to repeat it. If we work on it long enough, we will learn how not to repeat it. And nothing is more frustrating than falling into the same trap over and over and over and over and over. You get so frustrated, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The only way to learn how not to repeat it is to try not to repeat it.
Right.
And also, we know that if we fix it, if we take the time to fix it, our life will be better. So, deep breath. How to fix it. Okay, first off, with back to our truth, we need to be honest with ourselves, right? Or we'll start playing the game, the cover-up game. It's not that bad. Or the blame others got. It's their fault. You know, I was just sitting here and they were the ones who came up to be nasty to me, and that's why I had that mean thought. It's their fault, not mine. We need to be honest, or we'll just play a game that pushes it away from us so we don't have to deal with it. But don't stop here, okay? If we just stop with saying, here's your list of what's wrong, what do you feel like? Aww. Right? Don't just stop there, okay? Then think about how it did it develop. Influences started. There was an influence that started this. Identify it, okay? Then I had some desire. I had some want that carried it. Because remember, we don't do things we don't want to do. So there was a desire that carried it around, and some steps took it, right? We did some steps. We don't just blink, oh, I sinned. We did some steps to get there, right? And what mental blocks didn't stop us? Mental filters, whatever you want to call them, humans are capable of developing incredible mental filters or blocks. Okay? I work with special ed preschoolers. There are sometimes I get a little upset with them. When they're sitting there screaming, I'm just like, and my mind's going, I really would prefer to be somewhere else. And I really would prefer them to be quiet. Okay. Do I take duct tape and duct tape them to the wall? No, I don't duct tape them to the wall. Why? Because I have a mental block that no matter how annoying a kid is, I'm not going to duct tape them to a wall and smother them with duct tape on their mouths. Okay, I'm not going to do that. Humans can create mental blocks that they will not break. So we need to look what mental block wasn't there. I use mental block because we use that phrase a lot for something we won't go past. You could use mental filter if you don't like that phrase, but we get these mental barriers that we will not cross. And so we need, if we fall into something, to see what mental barrier was not as strong as it needed to be. And then we need to remember that God does know better than us. And then we need to be sorry for what we did, right? And then we need to repent. Repentance is a change of mind. We decide, I'm not going to do it again. It's a change of mind that is so strong and so deep that it comes out and changes our actions. And we need to pray to God at that point. And then we need to look into the Bible to see what should have been done instead. We will do something, okay? We can't just sit around and do nothing. Our minds will start doing something. We'll start doing something. So don't just say, I'm going to cut this action out. No, see what you should have done instead, right? Get an action to replace it. We only have time for so many actions in a day, so if you're doing this, you won't have time for that. Okay? Okay? Don't stop here. Change something. We can't change everything, but we can change something. It can be just a tiny little thing, but we need to change something and implement that change. Otherwise, we'll be the same person in the same situation, and what's going to happen? It can just be something small, but change something. So I thought about taking maybe envy and walking it through this. Okay, envy, it's when somebody has something I want and I want it really, really bad, and it kind of becomes a bit of a focus, and I usually end up having some very negative thoughts towards that person that has it. Okay, I need to first be honest about the situation that I am envious. And then I need to be honest about the situation first and go through what I'm being envious about. Okay, first off, maybe it's not right for me to have. Okay, have we ever had that thing where we look at that and I'm like, ooh, I would like that. And then we think about it and it's like, no, I really shouldn't have that one. Okay, maybe I'm not old enough for it. Maybe it's okay for them, but it wasn't okay for me. You know, people have different, we all have different tendencies, right? And so maybe they're okay with it, but I wouldn't be. But most commonly, we just defaulted to it instead of it inspiring me to make a plan to get it, right? You have that pretty, pretty thing. I want it. And so I'm just going to sit there and think, I want it, I want it, I want it. Instead of it inspiring me to make a plan to go get it, right? Okay? So I've identified it. Next, I need to repent. You know, I need to be sorry for it. And then I need to change my mind that I'm not going to do it. Okay, so if it was something you shouldn't want, when we repent, we need to stop wanting it, which means we're going to have to replace it with another action. So go maybe find something else you want to go work towards. And if it is something you could want or should want, replace it with a plan to go get it for yourself, right? Like, let's say that person I work with, one of the ladies I work with, has a really pretty bag, and I like the bag. I love purses. I'm sure a lot of you can relate to me. I'm sure I'm not the only person in this room who likes purses, okay? So let's say one of them has a really pretty bag. Actually, one of them does. She has a really pretty, it's an owl lunchbox. So it's pink and has owls all over it. So let's pick that, okay? Let's say she brought that to work one day, and I'm like, ooh, I want that bag. So I could sit there and obsess about that bag. I want that bag, I want that bag. And then be like, ooh, she has that bag. Okay. I'm envious of this bag. Not really that great of a bag. It is cute, though, okay? Okay, so it's something that it's okay for me to want, right? It's okay to want an owl lunchbox, okay? So instead of just sitting there just going, I want it, I want it, I want it, I should replace it with the plan, saying, okay, I like that idea. I like the owl lunchbox. Put aside some money, go get one for yourself, right? Don't just sit there being envious of something. Or maybe you think, oh, that person, she's so good at making cards, right? Don't just sit there being envious of her ability. Maybe try asking her to teach you how to make them, right? Don't just be envious. We need to get rid of that emotion, repent of it, and then make a plan. If it's something it's okay for us to want, to go get it ourselves. And if it's something that it's not okay for us to have or that we can't have, like my brother is incredibly talented musically, right? He'll come up, I'm sitting there working on the piano on my slow song, very, very slowly. He'll just come up and play it perfectly. And I'm like, so not fair. Okay, I could choose to be very envious of his gift. Or, being that this is something I can't work towards, I've took piano lessons since I was 6. I'm not going to get there, right? I think we can establish after this many years of it, I'm just not going to get there, okay? I can find something else to want. I can focus on something else I can do and focus on that instead. So I replaced it with something else. So we need to replace whatever it is with something, and then we need to change something. It can be a feeling or emotion. It can be something physical. It can be our understanding of the value. Maybe it wasn't as nice as I thought it was. I mean, it can be a small little change. Like if it's right in the sight, on your line of sight, move. It doesn't have to be a huge thing we do. We just need to remember, as Christians, we have control over what we think and do. And we can choose to have a good life if we grow in God's word. Because our goal in life is, remember, to glorify God by what we think and what we do. Thank you so much for being such a nice audience. You all are all here with all these nice smiling faces. Thank you so much for your time. And now I think you guys actually get a break and get to stand up and see if you still have legs.